Welcome to my podcast, Confessions of a Dog Trainer. So when I first started this podcast, I really wanted it to be something different than I saw other people doing. I say this to Bobby all the time, I want to do this differently than other trainers, which keeps me creative, it keeps me thinking, it keeps me just staying true to myself, because I feel like that is the one thing that I can for sure do differently than other trainers, because my story is my story. Something I've been thinking a lot about lately is training advice, and what I hear from owners is that it's very overwhelming. I hear you say one thing, and then I hear another trainer say, don't do that, it's really bad for your dog. And a lot of what I share is e-collar training, using a prong collar, and I know the negative things you all hear, because I hear it sometimes too, but just the feedback I get from you. And it makes me think about me and food. And I hope some of you can relate to this. So I always like to share a confession, a dog trainer confession. This is more of a human confession, but I have a feeling it will be relatable. And confessions to me, I want them to make me feel a little nervous to share, because I don't know, I think we can all really connect through our insecurities, being open about them, because none of us are perfect, even though many of us are striving for perfection. So the more that we can share this stuff, I think it kind of chips away at that need for perfection, because I think that makes it harder to connect with others. So my confession to you is, almost my entire day, every single day, I'm thinking about food. I'm thinking about what I should eat, if what I'm eating is okay. Things that I've heard in the past bubble up, like, oh, don't eat that, that's bad for you. Those of you who don't know, I've shared before, but in my maybe 20s, I struggled with bulimia and binge eating, and I went away to a eating disorder facility. It's called Coconut Grove, I think. No, that's where it was. Renfrew is the name of the facility, and I went there for a month because I was really struggling with my body image, food stuff, and I'm very grateful that my parents could help me in that way. So I went there for a month, and I learned so much about food, learned that I wasn't alone. It was actually a really fun time. The beginning was really tough, because when you confront anything head on, it's just like you all with your dogs, whether it's reactivity, anxiety, and when you start to work on it, maybe using the e-collar or following our guides, it's hard at first. Change is hard. But for me, when I was at this place, Renfrew, I never went to college. I never went away to college. I went to community college, and I always felt a lot of shame about not going off to a university and having that whole experience of being in a dorm and having roommates. I just never had that. And this was the closest thing I had to that. And it was in my 20s. So around the time when a lot of my friends from high school were in college and all of that. And I was surrounded by other women and girls who we would go to a therapy session every single day. This was pretty intense. And I think this is what was the most transformative about it, was being in a group of people where we all were being very open and honest about our struggles with food. And there were people who were struggling with anorexia, bulimia, binge eating, all the things. And one of the biggest takeaways that I learned from that month there was to listen to my body, listen to my hunger cues, instead of feeling like I couldn't eat certain things or I shouldn't do certain things, just trying to be in tune with my body and what I needed. And I'll never forget one time we went on an outing and to a restaurant, and our assignment from whoever was giving us assignments, our therapist or someone, our nutritionist probably. And our assignment was, we all had to order dessert. Any of you who have struggled with food, dieting, whatever the things are, having some kind of food restriction, you know that desserts are usually categorized as bad food. Or for me, it was. So I remember getting this peanut butter chocolate slice of cake that I never would have gotten before. And we all sat there with our desserts, and I had a couple of bites, and we also had a food journal that we brought with us. We were super cool, you know, the table with the food journals, the coolest of the coolest. And I would write down, okay, after two bites, I actually feel really satisfied. I'm not feeling like I have to stuff it all in my mouth, or a lot of times with food, I would feel the need to hide. Like I would go through the Burger King drive-through, order five cheeseburgers, drive over to a parking lot where no one was around, and I would stuff my face and then feel the need to purge it. So throw up, that's bulimia. And so this was so different for me. But it helped me to start to listen to myself more than the outside noise or the things that I heard before or the need to be thin and thinking that that's what would make people like me, all of the things. And I'm sharing this because it's very similar to dog training. So for me, I've heard all of the advice. I even recently heard that you shouldn't eat broccoli. Eating veggies is not good for you. It's wild out there. And very similar with dog training. And so my advice to you, if you are someone right now who's feeling very overwhelmed, or you see me sharing maybe before and afters, like the reel I just shared with Brody, and you're struggling with reactivity, and you really want to get into e-collar training, but up until this point, you've heard that it's bad and it will ruin your relationship with your dog. And no matter what I share, you still have those thoughts kind of trickling in and out when you're thinking of doing this. My advice to you, and what I tell owners all the time, try things. Try using food. And if that doesn't work, move to the next thing. I just did a virtual with an owner yesterday who, she lives in Canada, and she has a 30-pound reactive dog, and she was using food for the longest time because she was told that is the only way to do this. You have to use food. So then you start to think, well, if I'm not using food, I'm a bad owner. You know, it's all very, I don't know, I feel like it builds up that self-talk, and when it's just you and your dog or just you and your phone and you hear this information, you don't have anyone else to kind of talk you down or reassure you, which is a huge thing for me with sharing so much on social media. I'm hopeful that that helps reassure you along the way. But with her, she said she started following me about 4 days ago and saw a post that I shared about the e-collar and immediately went and bought an e-collar. And after just a session or two, she said it was like switching on a light switch. And her dog, she could see a huge difference. And she started tearing up in the call, which is very common because I think for a lot of you, this stuff is overwhelming. And once you see how impactful this training can be and you actually experience it, it's life-changing. So lots of tears usually. And it was just such a cool moment for me because I do hear this a lot, but whenever I see an owner who is actually tearful about this stuff, it's so life-changing. I don't know, to me it makes me want to share more and do a podcast episode like this that hopefully helps you in your journey with your dog. Another thing with nutrition that is very similar to dog training, in my opinion, is that dogs are very different and humans are very different. It's like some people cannot have milk. They're lactose intolerant. Some dogs do not do well with using food on the walk to help with reactivity because they get way too amped up. This is one of the things about being a trainer and working with so many different dogs and personalities and seeing over and over and over how different dogs are. Reactivity is a great example. To me, there's a spectrum. There's dogs who are mild, and there's are dogs who are extreme. Some of the toughest cases I've worked with are dogs who, when using the e-collar, because I love sharing stuff that helps you do this on your own. There are some dogs where if you start working with them on your own, you will probably need professional help from a trainer. This could look like one-on-one sessions or a board and train, where someone on the mild or medium spectrum side of the spectrum can do all of this on their own and see major results. But all dogs are so different. Some dogs are so intense, and when you're using a tool like the e-collar, you have to use higher levels, where a mild dog, like Brody is a great example that I have here for boarding right now, who's been through our program, And I just shared a reel with his before and after. His levels, the highest were maybe 40 out of 100, where a more intense dog, high, the highest of levels on the e-collar. And that can be really hard for an owner. For a trainer, we have the experience. And I've learned along the way. So I've been doing this. This is my fifth year full-time doing the board and train. And all dogs are always so different. So progress will look different. When you're using the tools, it will look different. The questions that pop up for you might be different from another owner. This is why it's so important to always check in with yourself when you are expecting things with your dog, with dog training. It's just a good reminder, oh, my dog is different. My dog is different than these other dogs that I follow on Instagram. And it's the same for me with nutrition. And I think why I wanted to share about the nutrition stuff and the similarities between that and dog training is that it's helped me empathize with owners more, because I struggle with food stuff still to this day. I'm turning 38 this year. I'm not binging or purging or anything like that. I'm not even really restricting, but I still have those thoughts that I have to constantly check in with myself and remind myself, my body is different. Maybe a friend of mine can eat that slice of cake and be totally fine, where if I do, I'm more sensitive to sugar. So I probably would want to take a nap afterwards, or I'm more in tune with blood sugar stuff, you know, all the things. But I've also tried different stuff along the way and tried to pay attention to, okay, this works really well for me. This doesn't, even though it works really well for this person that I follow on Instagram. So I'm going to tweak it because I need to listen to my body. It's similar to you and your dog. Checking in with yourself. Kind of taking notes along the way, mental or actually writing them down when working with your dog. Be like, okay, I saw Bethany do this. My dog is giving me a little bit more pushback than I remember her talking about. Maybe I should check in with this moment. Maybe reach out for a virtual coaching session or whatever you want to do. But I think your mindset as an owner is so important. And it, when it's just you and your dog, you don't have me there cheering you on as much as I would love to. You really have to strengthen your mindset muscle. It's a lot like I talk about the place command and your strengthening your dog's calm muscle. I'm a visual person, so imagining a muscle getting strengthened is just, it helps me put the pieces together. So for you, start to check in with yourself. Maybe have a little mantra. I've been really using this mantra a lot recently, and it's, why not me? So for me, it usually happens with when I'm working out. And let's say if I'm comparing my progress to someone else who's working out and they're really fit and I feel like I'm doing all the things, but I'm not getting it as quickly. And this, I think, is also like a lot of owners, maybe you with your dog, why am I not seeing results quicker? Where it all comes back to being consistent, daily habits, and just kind of chipping away. But for me, again, I have to check in with myself, but a mantra that's been really helpful is, why not me? So when I'm thinking, oh, I'll never get as fit as this person, or I'll never have toned arms that I feel really proud of, why not me? Why can't I do that? And it kind of pushes me forward. So for you, if you're a mantra kind of person, like I've been making these bracelets and I made one and put on there, I am strong, because that is a reminder I can always use. So for you, I think figuring out something that is helpful for you in those moments when you're second guessing yourself, when you feel like you're doing everything wrong, because I'm telling you, you're not alone. I've had that so much as a trainer where I felt like, oh, another trainer would do this better. And just kind of checking in with myself. And the more that I do this, the more I realize, no, you know, all dogs are different. There are always challenges. But each time that I'm challenged, it's really just about getting up and trying again. And so for you, I would really take advantage of our private Facebook group for owners. I'll put that in the show notes, the link to that. Our training guides, it's like owner homework. That's how I like to describe it. Set up a virtual coaching session. We have a special going on for August. My whole thing with that was, I know how helpful those things can be, those sessions. So we have that available. But I hope that this was helpful or encouraging, or you can relate in some way. I always am reminded that human stuff is very similar to dog stuff. And I think the more that we can relate the things that we go through with our dog to our actual life, it helps us move through them a little easier. And that's what I'm hopeful that this can do for you. And yeah, thank you for tuning in. And until next time, bye.